Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Welcome back to another episode of Girl That's Scary. It's Jazz, the 40-ounce connoisseur, and...
it's Cat Daddy, and we have a super quiet, cool returning guest. Super quiet, cool returning guest. Please tell everybody who you are and why you're amazing.
Hey, neighbors. It's your boy, V. I'm amazing because you're amazing, and vibe attracts your tribe, and you're here.
Oh.
You feel me? Oh.
Oh my gosh, shout out to you and thank you for returning again. Everybody already knows, he told you his name is Alvy. Get into his shit. Alvy, tell the people where to plug you, or when you plug the people so they can know where to
super
find
super and simple everything you need to know. Dark Side Industries, darkside industries.net. my Instagram is darkside v. Super and simple.
All right, guys. Well, and Alvy was on our Black Summer episode, which if you have not seen Black Summer, you are missing out, especially if you enjoy zombies.
Yes.
And we're back to talk about another Netflix zombie series, okay? We're talking Kingdom, okay?
Woo!
Season 1 and 2, there's 6 episodes in each season, so it's only 12 episodes. Like, you could really do this in a day if you pull the whole marathon. You could, in fact, make it.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this show was good as hell. You know, Korea's TV series just really be whooping ass. Like Alice in Borderland. I don't know if that's Korean or not. I have to go check again. I feel like that might be Japanese. But there's a lot of Korean shows on Netflix that mm-hmm. are whooping ass. Mm-hmm. And they are fucking good. Just out of the park. Now,
films,
what
were
you gonna say? What'd you say?
Korean films too.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Bussing.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Train absolutely. Oh yeah. And then oh yeah. Hell yeah. So you soon as you see the Train to Zombie, yeah. And to add to this being able to be binged in a day, child, you're pushing it. But not every episode is an hour. You are, but it's okay. Not every episode is an hour. Like, there's an episode that's only 30-something mm-hmm. minutes. And I was like, okay. But also, apparently, this is the first Korean Netflix originals situation. So shout out to them when it came out in 2019.
Hit the pause button.
Mm-hmm. Right. My thoughts exactly. So yes, pull up on this. I need everybody to watch it. I felt like it was a really good watch. Season 1, season 2, and like the prequel movie that went with it is Kingdom Ashen of the North.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Is that on yep. Netflix too?
Yes, it is.
I thought that was a series. And I was like, oh, because I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the movie you're talking about. Okay, I heard about this movie.
Okay.
And I feel like I started it but did not finish because I was looking at the little description. I was like, wait a minute. I know this character. And I was like, oh, okay. I kind of probably seen it, but I have to see it again.
And you didn't see this either, right?
No, I literally had no idea this existed. Well, this okay. This is this year, I see.
Yeah, it just came out a couple months ago. I just so happened to stumble across it today while doing like notes for our conversation. And so I was like, girl, what is this? And watching the video, like somebody's like, you know, sometimes I like to watch little YouTube comments or blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to figure out, like, what the hell was this person talking about? And I thought this was just, like, season 3 conversation when they were talking about Ashton. But then I had discovered, oh, no, girl. They're talking about an actual, like, extendo episode slash feature-length film that's on Netflix. So I put a pause on the video. I watched the movie, came back, and was like, oh, okay. This universe, one, very, I'm not going to spoil it for y'all, but it spans the universe. We get to learn more about Ashton. We see a lot more shit going on with the Haywin Cho clan and how far their plots in and all kinds of other shit has reached in, I guess, you know, as their reach has, how far it's gotten, and how many lives they continue to fuck up. And it just goes into a little bit more about that. And I'm gonna leave it at that. It's wild. I'm really excited for season 3 based off of this extendo episode movie alone. And I wonder if Ashton is going to be a friend or foe, or just like someone who flip-flops and is on both sides pending what the goal is. So let's go.
Yeah, let's get into it. We all think you should watch this fucking show. It's great. Check it out. And check out Black Summer. All right. just saying. We love zombies. All right. So season 1, it start off with this emperor. It's kind of dark. You know, we can tell this is like from the Joseon era. It says, I read like Joseon, but then when I saw it in parentheses, it had a CH.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's Joseon. That era, and pretty much they had a, like this, the kingdom had a hold. Like this is like a 500 year dynasty situation. So they was like, bitch, we whooping ass. We taking the land. We are in control. But you also know that bloodlines and shit like that, when you have power like that, you know there's bound to be corruption and all types of bullshit going on. Which,
yeah, inside and outside of the monarchy.
Yes. So the king is pretty much dead. Like, you find out that he's dead or really incapacitated sick. And you wouldn't, as a viewer, especially as a horror fan, you're like, no, this nigga is a zombie. Look at him. Like, he's a zombie. But they're hiding the sickness from everybody. Like, it's illegal to be up there, going in there, snooping around. They will kill you to protect that secret.
Yeah.
And he's married to Queen Cho, who is the daughter of the senator, Cho Hawk Ju. Yep, Cho Hawk, Lord Cho Hawk.
Yes, shout out to you. Thank you.
Yes, you're going to see a lot of him. Lord Cho is out here, man. And he wants his daughter to have a kid by the king so they can, you know, get that kingdom, that bloodline.
She was a baby. And I was sick, everybody.
Disgusting. But she couldn't have, like, she wasn't pregnant at the time. So they're like, all right, we got to make some shit happen.
She miscarried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
is it revealed in season 1 or season 2? After
it's in like season 2.
Okay.
They don't reveal it in season 1. They just be like, but they allude to like,
what's, why the, say that?
They allude to like, why the fuck can't you give the baby? Because you know they, you know, your worth as a woman is like, can you bear a boy? Mm-hmm. Which, wildly enough for science, that's more so on the male side. Like,
right.
It's, this has nothing to really do with a woman at all. They have a boy or a girl. So it's really fucking rude. They always blaming women. Okay.
Unfortunately.
So he's in here and his son, who was who's the crown prince,
because Lee Chang.
Yes. And they not fucking with, they do not want to give him power because he's illegitimate. He's a bastard, pretty much. Son of a concubine. So, but he's still the king's son. And, you know, technically he would, if the king dies, he assumes power.
Yep.
And he wanna see his daddy. And they like, fuck you, you're not seeing him. So you already know something is up. So nobody knows about these zombies. They've never seen this shit before, for real. Except for, like, when it was time, it was used to win a battle way back in the back.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of that, if you was not on the field, you was not fighting against zombies. Okay? This is not common knowledge.
Okay. Real quick. When they go into detail about the first time that these folks have, well, the first time it's presented to us, mm-hmm. that they have, you know, some kind of prior knowledge of the undead, I'm just like, bruh, I know the B was in the height of war, but the Haiwan Cho clan really was cutting the fuck up. Like, not, oh, I'm gonna, and, oh, burn, burn, spoiler alert. Like, not the, oh, I'm about to, you see all these people in this village? We're gonna take this, this plant, because y'all, we find out that you could resurrect someone from a plant that's, that grows in a place that's very cold, like it's in like a frozen kind of valley, where it's always kind of winter there, but it's just because it's in the mountains. And if you ingest the plant, and we later find out in season two that the plant actually has like eggs on the underside of the leaf that people can't see, where fucking parasites are in there. So this is what actually attributes to the people coming back from the dead. But if you I think it's ingested, like, you know, just eat the shit, or if somebody takes like a needle and pricks it like a little bit up under your skin, child, you finna come back from the dead.
Yes. And if you get bit by someone who was a zombified, then you also turn like a plague. Like, it passes, and it passes fast.
But it works, but it depends, because some people, they notice with Danny, right? Because when we fast forward and we see what's going on with Lee Chang, it's a whole bunch of different things going on. There's a doctor who was high, or I don't know if it's not really clear to me. Let me know if I'm tripping, whether he was hired by the Haiwan Cho clan, or they just so happened to be like, you know, crossing paths, and then somehow he ended up in their scheme.
No, I think that was their doctor.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
No, I think that was their doctor.
Yeah, they had him working on the king, and you know they're about to do some wild shit.
Let me ask you guys a question really quick. What was the difference? Is that where you were going to? The difference between, they were trying to explain the difference between when you turn, whether it was, yeah, that's where you're headed, right?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Elaborate, please.
Yeah, there's some people were, if you, like, when Danny, he got bit by the king. I guess they tried to sacrifice his ass. I don't really know how that was working out, because we didn't really see that. But he didn't turn. He just died. Now, what we find out, there's a little bit of cannibalism. I want y'all to know my kneecaps were shaking, because I knew some shit was wrong. When that man told us, oh, I went out and got a deer. I said, no, you didn't, baby. Where you get a deer at? Now you found a deer. Anybody else can find deer in this like little village that have been starving. If you consume the flesh of the infected person.
What a scene.
Oh, my God.
What a scene.
Oh, I was literally yelling into the air. No, everybody.
And they show
no!
the kids eat. Oh, come on with the kids. The babies enjoying it.
Oh, God, no.
Everybody's eating. They literally everybody is like sucking the meat off the bone. Oh.
They made sure you knew. They
consumed it.
But they should have known. You should have. Nope. Like,
when you're hungry. You ain't thinking about that until.
I know. I just, it's like for weeks, y'all ain't seen. Y'all was struggling to get food, and all of a sudden, this man, he found a deer. Really? Really? We answer no questions. And I'm also stressed because old boy was like, you know, yeah, we just about to eat people. Like, this is the shit, this is the type of shit we do. And I'm like, bruh, is it? I know when you be hungry and you know, you're faced with like extreme famine and you have to like, you know, make these kind of decisions, but oh God, really? Anyways, the niggas became zombies. That's pretty much it. And I also think it's very fascinating, the multiple ways you could change, like, and how fast the change happens. And then when we figure out, like, what actually controls the zombies or the monsters, because at first they think it's like, oh, it's nighttime. So they just party at night and we don't see them in the day.
I was super fascinated by the lore. Like the way they kind of flipped it on its head, and then continuously, like, you think it's one thing and then it's the next thing. We're doing the spoilers, right? I gotta say what it is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like from them to go to, okay, first they can't come out at the daytime, and then for it to be the temperature. You know what I mean? Like the kind of evolution and figuring out exactly what it is, and not just laying all the rules out to be what it, you know, traditionally is. It was crazy to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was believable too. You know the genre. We've seen it many times where they try to take, you know, the zombie lore or the vampire lore or whatever it is and try to, you know, add something new to it and doesn't fit. This had me on the edge of my seat. Like, what? They do what? And I believed every bit of it. I was like, okay, that makes sense. I didn't question any of it.
Right. And it was refreshing. Right. Because like we keep saying, as you touched on, we know the genre. We've seen the same shit over and over again. We see these fast zombies. We're seeing people doing fat, da, da, da. I do like how we got a bit of like the Train to Busan / World War Z situation. Not too much of it, but a little bit when they start piling on top of each other.
Can I add one note to that?
Yeah.
They don't lead with their hands. They lead with their mouths. And that's so much scarier.
Yep. And then the way they attach on to who they're feeding off of or what they're feeding off of, because we later find out that it's not just humans who can change, like, and it's up to anybody can get that shit. But they latch on like leeches. Mm. Like when they attach to people's bodies and stuff and they're leading with their mouths, they're all just like, it just gnawing on and just boom, 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 boom. Once you figure out that they're being controlled by parasites, their whole like demeanor when they feed, outside of being like ravishing, like, you know, bloodthirsty situation, because they're not animals, but like, you know, people who are infected, but they do act very parasitic.
Yeah.
Crazy. We love to see it. But that scene when everybody's vomiting and throwing up and stuff, I was crying in my chest. I just could not. I felt so bad because they was finally eating, but also like, not like this.
Not like this. I know that man who gave him the drink now feel bad. Like, oh, man. Dang.
That's what you get. Nobody told your ass to be casually eating people just because the data ends and why and you trying to live. Come on now.
You could have just ate it by yourself. You ain't have to tell everybody else.
Oh, God. Damn.
There would have just been one zombie.
You know what I like, though? I like this.
That's the same thing.
I do like that. As the show progresses, no one exposes him yet, or he isn't exposed for being the reason why, or one of the reasons why, the plague spread in that particular area. Because of course we find out later, you may or may not find out later. It's not even just a major spoiler. It's the fucking flower is growing everywhere, y'all. Like somebody has finessed the shit and has like, through trade and like buy sell trade situations, have like passed on the flower to other people across the land. So at the end of season two, and I know I'm skipping ahead a bit, when we see what happens with our characters and they start kind of going on like an exploration of what's going on, that's when they discover, oh yeah, you know, it's everywhere. And then you figure out how and who's in charge of that. And I'm gonna just leave it at that because y'all ain't get there yet.
Okay. Well, this village is turned up and people pull up after, you know, clearly it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Zombies are going to, it's like only going to be a few survivors. And you meet up with Lord Cho-Huck, nephew. What's his name?
His nephew.
Yeah, his nephew. Cho-Beom. Cho-Beom. And then the magistrate pull up and they're like, the woman is telling them, her name is Selby.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, listen, she was a sister of that doctor, so she's like pretty much the active physician, and she's like, y'all need to destroy these bodies. You ain't see what I saw, bro. That's it. You need to burn these motherfuckers. And they're like, no, we're not gonna do that. We're just gonna like bury them. They did something. They didn't do what she asked them, and it was chaotic because they literally reanimated and beat everybody's ass, and now they had to deal with that again. So when the prince show up, he's like, no, destroy the bodies. What do you mean? And now we're at the situation where he's trying to figure out, oh, these are zombies. Like, now the information is spreading. Because, you know, when we think of information spread now, it's hard to hold. Like, what one tweet really can just spread like a wildfire. Versus here, they ain't got no Twitter. They can't just be like, oh, wow, the zombies is wilding over here, bro. And somebody, like, way over yonder on the other side of the kingdom is like, oh, I do see that. That's crazy, y'all. Lock the gates. No, you had to see it with your own eyes. Or even if they write it. Because nobody's about to believe that. You send them a letter, hey, yo, the dead is reanimated. They're like, they're not. That's bullshit. And no, it's not. They're reanimating.
I thought that was fire, too. They never really brought up the dead. Like, they did, but, like, when they were talking about it to other people, they were always referring to, like, as the plague.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought that was kind of unique. Like, they weren't really too hung up on, the person died and then returned.
Yeah, I feel like a part of that might also be like a part of, you know, people's like lore and in cultural type of situations, because they bring up like transitions when when all of the people in the town are fed upon, when you're getting that whole situation, right, with the bodies of, oh, we want to burn these bodies, and you see some of the people who are of like noble background or whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever that means, but you know, you see that classism start to pop out.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you can't burn my child's body because he hasn't been properly buried. You know, like, you have to have somebody come pray over the body, and the shaman's got to clean the spirits, and just to make sure they ensure a safe passage when they're crossing over. But you see, like, this shit play out multiple times, and I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Like, even when the people are preparing, and they're like, oh, well, although they're not mentioning the dead are coming back to life, but they're very much like, oh, you heard there was ghosts in the South, and we want to, you know, make sure we're protecting our homes and our families from the ghosts that are coming. I'm like, oh, okay, this shit is crazy. It's not the ghosts, y'all. It's the living dead. It's the living dead. But I appreciate you, but it's the living dead. And they fucking people up. And the way that they just, like, perceive to be hiding in the daylight when they all pack themselves into the wells and under the houses. So given, like, you know, people hiding bodies during war times, it was just really troubling for me. So the mood that was trying to be set, I felt it.
Yeah, that shit was dread. Just dread. People are starving, dying. You hiding bodies. They eating people. The king is a zombie. The queen is treacherous. Like, goddamn, everything. It definitely gave, like, I don't know, any time where we have the shows where there is some kind of king and the kingdom is passed down through bloodline, it's always some wild shit that is behind that. Somebody killing somebody. Like, it's always hostile takeover.
Politics as usual.
Yep.
Literally.
That's truly it. People plotting. Somebody trying to ascend the power.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not too big on, there's always some type of like political or social battle in the subgenre. This had me, these guys were wilding. Like, I mean, the zombies were amazing, but I needed to know the drama. Like, I needed to know what was going on in the kingdom.
Yes.
Like, they had me in every turn.
Yes.
Especially season two. I was like, wait a minute.
I forgot about the zombies.
Okay, so to piggyback off of that point, Jazz and I were recently chopping it up about Army of the Dead and having our thoughts around that. And one thought that I had pulled to the table was, she didn't see it initially. I saw this, you know, when Army of the Dead came out, everybody flocked to it and everybody had their thoughts. So my thought was, after seeing Army of Thieves, if someone would have won, showed Army of Thieves before showing Army of the Dead, I would have been geeked up. Two paired with one, if Army of the Dead was presented as a heist movie, with zombies just happen to exist in this heist movie.
There you go.
It would have been way better. And I like that Kingdom is, hey, let me give you this period piece that takes place in the past in Korea. We've got people with the political drama. We got family drama. We got treachery. We got all this
famine.
Shit. Yes.
Literally.
Yes. Disease. And to top it all off, them niggas are zombies. Like, boom. Wonderful. It's like the zombie is the sprinkle of it. It just so happens to take place in this universe. The zombie situation, the plague is happening. It just so happens to exist. But this isn't the total story. And that's why I like the show.
Yes. I like, and you know, Kat knows that I don't dislike period pieces. I don't. I enjoy them if they're kind of accessible. And this is accessible to me because I got subtitles. So I am here because sometimes, like, people talk about The Witch and I was like, about that movie. But this, like, it makes the drama accessible too. Like, listen, we are showing you on screen what's happening, who's the bad guy, and then it just gets like the storytelling. Like, you have because I guess we're jumping into season two, because season one pretty much ends with we letting everybody know the king is dead, the queen is taking the charge, she blocking them, Lord Chotem pulled up with the zombie king. Like, oh, we about to get the crown prince the fuck out of here, because it can only be one like Highlander, so we got to take your ass out, you got to go, motherfucker. And then zombie is like, chaos ensues, and we kind of figure out that that's where the temperature situation comes in, because they are losing a battle with the zombies, okay?
Yeah.
Because they thinking, oh, they about to chill out, and they not about to chill out because it's cold outside.
Can I add something to that too? To yes. At least season one before we skip past?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you, I know some of us are there for the gore, you're there for what happens to the zombies and the situations. All of that's there. The action is impeccable. Like the time difference, you know, we're used to seeing guns and, you know, this high flavored action, you know, compared to this time period, the way they executed action was magnificent, like brilliant all across the board for season one. Well, I mean, the whole, like even how they end season one on that high point. I know we talked a lot about the story building, but mm-hmm. the action, the horror, the intensity was all there too. So I don't want to skip past that too. That was an amazing element for myself.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. There was no shortage of blood.
Knife talk all day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they had blades. They did have guns, but they were the, you remember when, okay, they had the guns. We had to put the gunpowder in there, push it down, and then, because it takes a lot longer to get a shot off. So yeah, even
We bugging because you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But you're talking about the guns, and we didn't bring up my man who was using his body. I don't know what's his name. Do you know the character's name I'm talking about? The only one who had the gun. He was the amazing, one shooter character. He was using his body for every bit of action. I don't know if he was doing his own stunts, but he was like busting through walls with his body. He was busting through jail with his body.
He was. I know who you're talking about. But I can't think of his name right now.
That the man that poisoned everybody.
Yeah, that's he. And you follow him, and he's a complicated character because he does that. But then he helps like save people.
His
and
whole story
stuff.
Is redemption, because that's literally all he has left. You're the reason why this shit is taken off the way it's taken off, because the zombies have went from, oh, we're gonna bite somebody, they not gonna turn, to, well, now that you done fed everybody our flesh, we're definitely turning. You're gonna turn. You're a zombie now. But he was killing shit. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, he was going off.
He was definitely doing this. Even in season two. The arc of his story character is like the arc, right? I'm really fucking with it. And I'm truly excited to see how his life has changed going forward. Because I'm once again skipping ahead. At the end of season two, like, you know, they do a time jump. And you kind of see what's happening to our characters. After a lull of different periods of time, mm-hmm. and you see that he's gone off and he's clearly, you know, traveling around the world and trying to figure out mysteries and shit. And he's out here and finally got sandwiches for people. But I keep thinking in the back of my mind, every time he's like having a one-on-one with different characters and trying to have these personal moments with them, I'm always thinking like, is he going to start being guilt-ridden and tell everyone that he's the reason why? Like literally him, instead of how it was written in their like journals or the official recollection log of what was going on, especially when they do that recap with like Sabi, mm-hmm. When she talks about like, you know, the someone at the camp was trying to feed the people and they ate a dead corpse, and everyone omits his name. So I keep wondering, like, is he going to get really guilty and just tell everybody it was him?
It was me. It was me. I feel like his name is Yong Shin. I feel like that's his name, but I could be wrong. Because again, they don't say his name a lot.
I didn't even know he had a name.
I feel like he definitely has a name. But he is a pretty, like I said, complicated character who you end up kind of liking towards the end. Because I'm like, I would have been really mad if you would have fed me a person off rip, though. I don't think I would forgave you. But yeah. So now we get to season two. The queen ain't shit, bro. She got all these pregnant women up in her fucking house. She like, bitch, I'm getting the fucking royal son one way or another, bitch. I'm about to kill all you bitches and take your baby. Especially like,
wow.
If the baby was a girl, it killed both of them hoes. If the baby was a boy stillborn, it killed them. Then they finally get to one and they was about to kill her. This is our dog's wife.
Is he our dog?
Is he our dog?
Well, he's not.
I mean
okay. Because listen, Johnny Brasco.
He held it down, but he had to.
Yeah, he was a fed.
We hate to see it.
The feds.
We hate to see it. He was an op. And I'm sick to my stomach. And so was Lee. He was, and oh, our old boy that we talking about when he asked them that line, he's like, when you knew that he was lying to you? Because somebody tells, like, there's several times it's mentioned that there's, you know, a mole mm-hmm. in the community. Because how did, you know, certain people know you were coming? And he's like, you know, no, it can't be him. He's looking like fucking New York. He's like, no, it can't. Not looking you. At his bodyguard, no, not you. And the bodyguard was trying to play his ass like, I left my pregnant wife to travel across, you know, Korea to be at your side, Your Highness. You really question my loyalty. Like, he had the tears going. He had lip quivering whole time. This nigga was a rat. I'm tired. Tired. I also heard the 21 Savage ad lib in my pussy. Just, I'm tired.
Wow.
I was truly upset because I was just like, bruh, and you sit up here scamming like this, and the way his shit plays out, like trying to get them to run off and, you know, to be thinking she out here, you know, still helping. And it's just, I was like, damn, I hate to see you go down like this. Like, off of the queen, girl. Damn. Yeah, y'all all getting manipulated by a teenager.
And this is how I like my villains. I don't like her actions. But if you're going to be a villain, I want you to be villainous. Mm-hmm. I need you to go all the way. And she went all the way.
I wasn't upset with her when she killed her dad.
Me either.
That was fire. That was fire to see him come back to, you know, life or whatever. And then just for her to take him out, like, real smooth. I like that. Okay. Real player.
Let's talk about this. Because I was geeked up when I saw that my man, Mr. Daddy Cho, was going to be out of here until the nurse, you know, bless her heart, because she's out here trying to do the science, she's trying to get this shit together. She should have just let his ass become a zombie, right? Because everybody else think he dead. And she sit up here, you know, giving that new life, cranking up the baptism, and putting him in the water to get the parasites out. And I'm just like, so you brought him back. And now he's going to make it rain hellfire even harder because he's like, oh, these niggas try to kill me.
Mm. Don't do that. She ain't had no choice. Don't do that to her.
I know. She but I'm still just pressure. Like,
it was, the people was putting that pressure on her. The people.
He should have just stayed dead. She should have been like, ooh, I can't read. I forgot.
But then right at the same time, if she didn't do that, then I don't think that she would have been able to pass the word on to not Prince Charming. I was about to say Prince Charming. What's my man's name? The Prince?
Lee Chang.
She wouldn't be able to pass the knowledge on to him.
You know, yeah, that submersion is.
Sorry.
I know. I'm tired of his face. I was so mad he came back because he was ready, and I was just like, you're still here. I'm really tired of you.
And he pulled up and bossed up on his daughter like, you've always been this kind of little bitch. Well, you always have been this motherfucking scheming ass bitch. And I'm sick of your shit. I'm about to kill your baby. I'm about to kill all the...
I'm about to kill this nurse for listening.
She looked up like, what?
Shady ass a bitch.
She looked right at his ass like, me too? Like,
and you just brought me and you couldn't tell me to leave.
Damn. I don't know. Oh, as a sidebar, I want to note that in both seasons, throughout the show, there's a couple moments of, like, comedic relief. And more so, like, the way characters are reacting to shit.
It was funny.
When, after they retrieve the bodies from the small village in season one, and they're, like, trying to figure out if they're alive, and the guy's like, oh! I don't know. Oh, Lord. Like, the way he's reacting to the shit. And I'm just like, why? I love when, like, it gives very much, like, they do this a lot in different foreign soap operas. Like, they bring that comedic relief, even though it's something serious, but it's a little lighthearted in the approach. I enjoyed that because it cut the tension a little bit, but the tension was definitely applied in full force right after.
And it still felt real, too. It wasn't even, like... You know, like, over the top, where it's like, why would he do that right now? And I was like, nah, bro, everybody should be acting just like him.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't feel like it was too jokey-jokey.
No. Because everything else is drama, tension, zombies, political corruption. Okay?
The queen has some fire outfits, I will say that.
Everybody had fire outfits.
Them hats, what?
The hats?
Wait, hold on. Can we... I know this part wasn't supposed to be comedic, but do you remember when the bodyguard got his hat smacked off and his ponytail gripped?
Yes.
I was hollering. When he grabbed my man ponytail and was moving him around and was talking to him, I was done up.
I straight up said out loud, "Ooh, that's embarrassing." Because the way he like had his ass and he was like, "Listen,
I would have put my sword out. I'd have been it. I'd have been it for me." Like,
I'm just like, damn. So not only is this man literally got you by the ponytail, the queen is also telling you what to do. Your whole life is in a vice grip. You got to rethink it.
And you snitching.
And you a snitch. You really need to rethink these choices. For someone who's real pressed about having, you know, a pregnant wife and all that other shit. And I'm just like, bro, they finna kill your wife and you know this.
Man.
You know this. And I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you made this choice. For why? Oh, not you. Not you.
Acting honorable. Terrible.
Ugh. So after going through like all these different situations and going to these different, it's a lot of the season two is going to the different parts of the country and trying to protect the people and, you know, trying to get food and resources to the people while navigating the plague and how it's like, you know, overrunning villages and of course adding to the body count. A lot of the season is spent just diving more, like Ali talked about, the lore of the monsters and how they function and our characters basically exploring more about them and trying to, you know, research the different ways they can overcome the plague, overcome the actual plague that's in front of them in terms of like the living dead. And of course, how can they unite the country and move forward and bring down, you know, all the people who are trying to oppress them and literally and figuratively eat the rich. Like that's what the fuck is going on. And then so at the end of season two, because we've already talked about the queen, she done snatched up the baby. The bodyguard, his wife, she actually is the one that gives birth to a son. Mm-hmm. Out of all the pregnant ladies we come across that have been murked because of this baby stealing plot line, just like my favorite soap operas. I love this. It's always a baby switch, y'all. So it is. But they snatch her baby up and basically leave her for dead. And, you know, of course, the people, the crown prince and all his peoples, they'd have found her, you know, they harboring her, trying to make her, you know, get her safe and stuff because they need her in their plan to expose the queen. The queen has snatched this baby up. She's like, listen, y'all are literally going to have to pry me from this fucking seat. Like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you. Tell your guards, tell the crime. When the prince coming home, she's like, yes, my son is coming. She does not let up on calling that grown-ass man her son. She's like, you are my son. Okay?
Loved it.
Yeah, and she continues to go, ruthless. Like I said, son, respect your mother. I'm not leaving. I'm like, wow.
Bruh, especially when she was like, yeah, you're about to get a sibling, bitch. Okay? I think that was so wild. And then when... like, of course, when one person brings it up, like, no, there's all these dead pregnant women. The queen, that baby is not the queen's. Bruh, Lord Cho came in there and said, yeah, kill this motherfucker immediately. Okay, he broke all these rules. He's a fucking traitor. Kill him, his family, his wife's family, everyone related to them. Behead him, bitch. I was like, hey, whoa. Then when he told his daughter that, the queen was like, that was great. Great choice. You should have done that. We can't let these motherfuckers get through. I'm like, oh, girl, scheming.
Oh, I'm not even gonna hold y'all. And in terms of like shows where there is a femme character in a position of power who might also be doing some scheme plots and getting other niggas up out of here, the queen in this show is slowly sliding up to the top. She's up there with Gemma from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
She's up there with Skylar.
All right.
From Breaking Bad. Ain't that the girl name? Everybody watch Breaking Bad?
I have not.
Who was Skylar? Who was Skylar?
Was Skylar the wife name in Breaking Bad? Did I make her up?
You're the wife.
Her name was Skylar.
Heisenberg's wife. That's all I got to say. I don't even care what that woman
You guys know Heisenberg's wife's name?
I love that he's about to find this out.
Yes, we're phoning a friend.
Oh, yes. You know Heisenberg's wife's name?
Yes, phone the friends. This is wonderful.
Look, he said Skylar, yeah. Skylar.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Is he up there with Cersei?
We're going to put her up there with Cersei because I wish we knew more about, I want to know her backstory because all I can fill in is that she was a child bride.
What was her name?
Oh, we Googling. I love this.
Oh.
Did you guys, good. Can you guys hear him?
No, what'd he say? Is it Skylar?
Anna Gunn?
Is the actress Anna name?
With two guns? Is that the actress name or? Yeah, okay, but that's Skylar, right? Skylar White. Skylar White, yeah. Okay, that's
okay,
her.
Okay. Yes, but she she's up
that's
there.
The engineer. Shout out to Al.
Shout out to you. Yes, she's out there. And I really feel like, you know, this child bride deserves better. I think she's definitely, I don't want to say a product of her time, but like she's a product of the sad patriarchy that exists around her. And she basically got thrown into a world of schemes and plots as soon as she was born.
Pretty much. That's probably why the dad was like, you've always been like this. Cause she always probably was like, bitch, I don't like doing what the fuck you making me do.
She was like, yup.
Yeah. I mean, he basically, when she has her monologue in the end, you know, she's having a whole moment where like, you've always cursed me for not being a boy. So now she's always having to play her life as, you know, second best. She's always got to do the most. She got to sleep with an old ass man, y'all. That's enough.
That's disgusting.
Send help.
But she kills everybody. And then at this point, now she got her fake ass baby. And she's like, yeah, we about to.
Don't do that to that baby. I mean, he knew here. He ain't did nothing to nobody.
The baby's still fake.
It's not her baby, though.
No, that's not her baby.
Yeah, she's not the bomb. But she's like, oh, she got little zombies underneath the little her house and shit. She doing some shit she ain't supposed to be doing. And
her plot.
When they pull up, she's like, all right, bet, you think you gonna take me out? Fuck that shit. I'm letting the zombies out on everybody. Bitch. I was like, whoa, even yourself? Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna just close the gate. Like, that's not enough. That's too close.
If I can't rule, none of y'all hoes can have it either.
Pretty much.
If she sat on that throne, now you could see in her eyes, she was shook a little bit when them zombies was literally at the door. I don't think she got that far in her planning.
But she's also young.
Because she was literally like taken aback when the camera cuts close to her eyes, when the zombies start breaking their head through the walls of the, what is it, the royal chamber room. And she's like, but uh-huh. She don't move in her seat.
Yeah, I think she was about it. I think she just kind of realized, damn, this is really it. But she was still about that shit. Because like you said, she ain't get about that seat. She ain't flinch. She ain't move the baby.
Damn.
She sat right there like, let's do this right now.
Somebody had to pry the baby from her dead hands.
That little baby rolled across the floor and them zombies was fucking her up. And I just like...
Did you see how sis scooped the baby up?
Yep. Yes. And with that, you know, okay, I'm not even going to hold you. That whole scene where she's protecting herself with that one lone fire stick. And I'm sitting there like...
No, that's Night of Living Dead. You didn't get it? You didn't see that?
I know. I saw it.
It was like a nice little homage.
But what I, even in that movie, I was just like, I know that this is 68.
I know it is. But...
Ma'am, sis. And then so when I'm watching this, I'm just like, all right, okay, I'm gonna go with it. I do like that she made the fire coat, though. I thought that was crafty.
Yeah.
And them was the finest silks and garments. Because how the hell she ain't burn up? Baby girl turned into a whole stuntman to save that baby. She was a fire stuntman. She, you know, I don't know if y'all ever had a chance to see it. The Movies That Made Us,
of course.
The show that's on Netflix. Have you had a chance to see about Avi?
Yup, every time. I can't wait. Okay. I love it.
When they talk about old boy who is the fire stuntman and
Nightmare on Street.
Yeah. Yeah. Jazz, you ain't seen this yet.
Oh my god.
So you know in Nightmare on Elm Street when it's the final scenes. And Freddy's in the basement, and when they do the whole thing where they run through the basement and they come up the stairs.
The stairs are burning.
Okay, the man in the fire suit, he was only supposed to be on fire for a couple seconds. That motherfucker, when you see Freddy rolling down them steps, that man ad-libbed all that shit and was like...
For fun, just start running around on fire, running up the steps, falling back down, running back up, falling back down.
Yes, and at the end he goes, y'all get that? I look good, right?
Hella cool.
I was cracking the fuck up. That's what I thought of when baby girl put that fucking fire drapery over her body and barrel rolled through the window with that plastic baby. I said, oh, okay. This is what y'all giving.
Okay. I mean, now I have to see that, first of all. Second of all, you are right. She really, I'm like, I can't believe this bitch is not on fire with her hair out and everything, but she comes through and makes it and is holding on to this baby for dear life, which, I mean, I get. And they're fighting for their lives as they're standing on ice, like trying to draw these motherfuckers out. Oh, that scene
was awesome.
It was awesome. It was smart. And I feel like they got the information. They were like, look, we are going to drown these motherfuckers. We are going to shoot, like, weaken the ice. And as they fight and stuff on it, it's going to crack. Now, of course, their plan works, but not before all these motherfuckers get bit the fuck up. Everybody get bit. And then, but they get submerged in the water.
Okay. So when this scene happened, I was sitting here thinking two things. I said, all right, so they're either going to, one, end this show like this. Everybody did, and I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine. Me too. Everyone dies. They fall into the ice. It's over. Or when they fell into the water, my first thought was they all going to die or all the parasites going to leave their body, just like old girl tried to show us before. And that's exactly what happened. I was like, wow, okay, it's nice that a handful of them lived. I do like that, you know, unfortunately, with, you know, when stuff buoys and fall comes back up, it gets stuck up under the ice. So I like that it aided them in being able to, like, quickly dispose of the bodies. So I was just, you know, it was nice to see that shit play out. It really was. Because I thought they was goners.
I did, too. I was like, damn, they sacrificed themselves. They knew they was going to die. But they made it. And then Prince Chang pulls up like, hey, I'm about to kill this baby. And she's like, don't kill the baby, please. You said protect the baby because it was your homeboy baby, your A1 person, but he an op, so I don't understand why you're not killing this baby, but okay. And he comes to the fact that, you know, people not fucking with me and my family. The people already respect the Cho family. Like, let's just say I died and let the baby live. Yeah. And they dip the baby arm in the water and you see the parasites leaving the baby. But, you know, we think that works, but I guess it doesn't really work because, you know, it forwards to like 7 years later after all the shit go down. And the shit look like it's moving back to normal. You know, we getting people together. And you realize that one, the son who's 7 just crowned king got a little zombie in its little squiggly in his face. Gross. First of all. Second of all, there are more dead people, people trying to buy and trade the flowers, like Kat was saying earlier. And like they're growing around. Like you, and then, you know, it only takes one. It only takes one to eat it and start biting motherfuckers up. And people start changing. Like if it goes unchecked. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
You also see, okay, people outside. Damn, fire truck. I hope that's not that one. Listen, you also see that there's dead, like undead people with bells on their feet, and Ashen is like, "Hey, what's up? About to whoop some ass." She looks like she's up to no good.
Oh, I need y'all to see this extended movie. I do. I need y'all to see. Y'all's assignment for tonight is to watch that, and we're gonna circle back once this mic is off. Cause
I'm on mission. I'm on it.
Okay, because I need season 3. I gotta see what's happening.
Wasn't assuming there was gonna be a season 3. Like, I know everything leads off with that last little, like, huh? But they close out the story so well that I deadass was like, oh, wow, they did that well.
Okay, so
did you hear something about a season 3?
So when I was reading on the internet machine that apparently they alluded to, they were alluded to that it might be a season 3, but you know, when some people were anticipating a season 3, when season 2 ended, they actually gave the prequel, which was The Kingdom Ashen of the North. So I'm going to still hold on to my skivvies and hope that they're going to continue that story, especially how the prequel ended. Okay. It would not shock me if they were just like, oh, this shit doesn't get renewed. I think that even like, the mystery surrounding this character, because we get this character's backstory in this extendo episode movie, right? So the mystery surrounding this character and how they're tying into what's going on right now is solved. So at this point, it's just what's happening next. We already know our characters are out, and while they're outside, you know, trying to find answers, they come across Ashen, they kind of learn more about Ashen's backstory. So we know that the dead are not gone. And they're still with us. So it's like, how are they going to either work together to end this shit, or is Ashen going to continue on what they got going on? And these other characters that are introduced in that story, are all these worlds going to, well, they're the same world. So are these individual worlds going to collide to progress the story along? I hope the answer is yes.
I'm along for the ride.
Yep. See, I got to see it. Because once y'all see it, I'm just like, oh. So I thought, and it's a quick watch. Like, for everybody listening, you guys, like an hour and a half. So it's like a movie.
I'm on with you. Yeah.
I feel like I feel like I might have put it on. I don't know. Because it was a prequel. And I was like, oh, well, this doesn't really spoil anything if it's a prequel. So I could just watch it anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't spoil anything. It just fills in the more... it fills in the blanks. It lets you know that the end of season two, they definitely stumbled into some old bullshit, like you know they did. And it's going to leave you feeling like, okay, what's happening next? That's literally how I was left. I'm projecting this point.
Oh, nope. I've seen it because there's the tiger attack is involved.
Yes. Yep.
I've seen it.
Now I know there's a tiger.
There's a tiger, and that's it.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's it.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yes. Before we close this out, where does this show rank on like your radar of zombie shows? Like, we know we talked about Black Mirror. We definitely talked about Black Summer.
That UK joint that you live in the houses.
Yes. Dead Set.
Yes. Of course, Walking Dead. Mm-hmm.
Day of the Dead has that show now that comes on Sci-Fi.
Have you guys seen that at all?
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't had a chance. I've been so enthralled with catching up with Chucky that I haven't got a chance to catch up on that show yet.
Are you guys going to do Chucky?
You know, we just might.
We have to. Because we covered all of the Chucky movies.
And the show was so good.
Indeed.
So excited. But yeah, so where for y'all, where does this show rank in your zombie show phase? Like, I know there's only a handful that are constantly, you know, The Walking Dead, they got a whole shaboop shabop.
It's too much going on, man.
I can't even tell. But where does this rank for y'all?
It ranks pretty high for me. It ranks pretty, because it's fucking good. It's like Black Summer pretty good. I'm like, damn, Black Summer's good. Mm. I'm into this. What about you, Alfie?
Just above Black Summer. Because I don't care anything too much about the characters in Black Summer, but like, they keep me going. I'm like, all right, yeah, the style of Black Summer keeps me there. This, I'm in love with the characters, the new culture, and then I love the little things, like them smoking meat and who could have, you know what I mean, like the politics of it. They kept me enthralled with everything in that world outside of the zombies. Mm-hmm. That kind of takes me, that takes them to the top right now, mm-hmm. compared to mm-hmm. other stuff. And that, and keep in mind too, that's only two seasons for both shows compared to The Walking Dead and everything else that's had a million different seasons and chances to have us fall in and out of love of with it.
Yeah. Same for me. Even if it doesn't get like a shitload of seasons, even if they don't come back with the season three, this is up there pretty high for me. I still need to see Black Summer season two, so everyone get ready to fight me, but it's up there pretty high. I'm hoping after seeing Black Summer, you know, I'm wondering if that my opinion will change after that. But in terms of like period pieces and throwing a sprinkle of The Living Dead on there, I can see myself coming back to this. It's only 12 episodes. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's not killed that.
Yeah, it's not a lot. Mm-mm. Not at all. I'm a fan.
Yeah. And if you like movies with like choreographed fight scenes, good time.
Oh yeah, lots of martial arts, lots of sword play. I'm here for it. This is your I feel like people should just watch this shit just because we said watch it. I don't know what kind of sentence that is, but
tap into the first two episodes and I guarantee you're gonna be like, all right, I'm here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And if not, I want to know why, because what happened? That's my only thoughts.
Yeah. So, you know, Kings is a good time. Check it out. And again, I'll be plugged where everyone can find you.
Yes.
Yeah, man. DarkSideIndustries.net. Myself, you can find me on Instagram at DarkSideV. I'm being currently hosted and accommodated by Nada Media. And I want to thank you ladies for having me again. And as always, this is always a pleasure.
Yes. And the feeling is always mutual. And we truly appreciate you for pulling back up and chopping it up about the living damn
time.
Oh, yes. And you know you coming back because I'm going to want to talk to you about this movie and other dead people stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And tell me, you know what I mean? Chucky, what's up with Chucky?
Listen, we got thoughts and we're holding on to it. And, you know, I don't know. We might have you tap in.
Holla at your boy.
Okay.
Yes. So again, check this movie out and let us know how you guys feel.
Movie and the show, y'all.
Yes. It's on Netflix. Pull up and pull up on us at grltspod@gmail.com. We have a website, www.girlthatscary.com. You can follow us at Girl That's Scary on Instagram and Twitter. We have Letterboxd at Girl That's Scary. And if you want to see some extra content,
okay,
come to patreon.com/girlthatscary. Yeah.
Come on now.
All right. We have bonus content, early episode releases, Discord, polls, all types of fun shit. Like shit. That. So check it out. Some shit is free on there. We like free shit. Yeah. Let us know how you feel about this, y'all. And thanks for listening. Thanks for all the ratings and all that fun stuff. Again, thank you to Ali for showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Nope. Of course. And until next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Available now from Dread. Val. Finn, a wanted criminal, hides out with an escort named Val, a demon. Val offers to make his problems disappear if he follows her rules. She has been expecting him all along, and it won't be easy to escape Val's dungeon. Val is out now everywhere you buy or rent movies, and on Blu-ray November 2nd. Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.